Morning, page Lamed Dalet, paragraph Ted Zion in the Ein Yaakov. Should be reasonably close to the post-it note. Okay. Amrele Antoninus LeRebbe. Antoninus said to Rebbe, Mifnei ma chama yotzav mizrach shokat marav. Why does the sun come out in the east and go out, come and go and set in the west? Amrele, so Rebbe answered, Ihavi ipcha, nami hachi havri amrele. Because if it was the opposite, you would ask me, why is it that way? Okay. Amrele, presumably Rebbe was trying to avoid discussing philosophy, Jewish philosophy with him. Amrele, so Antoninus said, Hachi ka imnele, this is what I mean. Ka amenele, this is what lach, this is what I mean. This is what I'm saying to you. Bifnei ma shokat marav, but why does it set in the west? Why doesn't it rise in the east and set in the east? Why does it set at all? Amrele la, amrele. So Rebbe answered him, Kidei liten shalom lekona. It's going to give shalom to its, it's going to greet its master, its creator. Shemar, Utsvah Shemayim L'chamish Tachavim. As the Pasuk says, the army of the heavens bows down to you. Amrele v'tete ad palga d'rekia v'titein shlama v'teyu. So Antoninus said, let it rise to the top of the heavens, go a little bit to the west, and set immediately. Why does it have to set in an arc? V'titein shlama v'teyu. Okay. And it will give shalom to its, it will greet its creator, and it will set there. Mishum Paul, so Rebbe answered him, Mishum Pauli, Mishum of Redrachim. It's for workers and for travelers. In other words, sunset is gradual so that workers know, have warning when it's time to put away the tools and go indoors, and so travelers know when it's time to find a motel. If it just went to the top of the heaven and disappeared, it would be very sudden, and we would lose those advantages. Rashi says, the first Rashi on page Lamed Hey, Kedeli Shitain Shalom Lekono, to give shalom, to greet its creator, Lakadosh Baruch Hu Shashchina B'Marav, because the Shechina is in the west, so therefore it goes down in the west. So this raises two things for us to talk about, which are related. One is, again, did Chazal know that, did Rebbe know that the earth is round? Did Antoninus know, for that matter, that the earth is round, the sun is just going around? Or what did they think? And second, what does it mean that the Shekhinah is in the west? I mean, why can't God be everywhere? Okay, so those are the issues we will discuss today. There's a medrash called Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. It's one of the oldest midrashim. The Rabbi Eliezer is the Tana, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi of Rabbi Akiva. So it's one of the oldest midrashim. And there's a commentary on the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer called Beor Haradal. Rav David Luria lived in or near Vilna in the 1800s. And is a the major figure of that era. So, first he quotes Ramchal, who says that, of course, they knew that the earth was round, that the sun is just going around the earth. It's not going anywhere. It's just going out of sight. Okay, and doing the same thing on the bottom half of the earth.
The sun is growing the earth, or the earth is growing the sun?
Well, from our vantage point. Okay. They knew that that's not clear. That's not totally clear. Okay. What he's saying. But they knew that the sun is not. There's a corresponding Gemara in Baba Basra. Maybe I should mention that first. I'm sure you remember. We talked about where does the sun go? There's a suggestion that the sun goes, that there's a plane of the sky and that the sun goes above it and around, goes around the sky and comes back to us. Okay. So that Gemara and this Gemara, the Ramchal comments on them. Of course, Chazal knew the reality. Okay. Incidentally, as far as the world, people thinking the world is flat versus round, there's a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, which tells us that even the Goyim in the time of the Mishnah knew the earth was round. Okay. What we're told about children, the Mishnah talks about an idol holding a ball representing the earth. Okay. It's not holding a frisbee or a pancake representing the earth, it's holding a ball representing the earth. Clearly, the Goyim who worshipped that idol, not only the Jews who wrote the Mishnah, but the Goyim who worshipped that idol knew that the earth was round. As far as what we're taught as children, that, you know, in time, Columbus's time, people thought the earth was flat. Either it's not totally true, but that's what people thought, or that was after the Dark Ages, and there's a reason the Dark Ages are called the Dark Ages, okay? Because they forgot lots of things that they knew before. Okay? So they knew the earth was round. They knew where the sun goes when it sets. Okay. As we mentioned last time, you can make fun of Chazal's language, or you could make fun of the U.S. Naval Observatory that thinks the sun rises and sets. We know the sun doesn't rise and set. We know it's the earth that's turning, right? But every astronomer and every meteorologist uses the term sunrise and sunset. Are we going to laugh at them? No, it's the words that are used. Okay, so the Ramchal says that this language here and the language in the Gemara of the sun going somewhere, okay, it's all alluding to Kabbalistic secrets. Okay, it's the same thing with the words in davening that we say on Shabbos morning in Bracha of Yotzer Ma'aros on Shabbos morning, that Hashem opens up the windows and the doors of heaven and the light comes in and the light goes out. Okay, it's all related. If you want, you can look and consider Hashla, and if you understand what he says, you can explain it to me. So there are all kinds of secrets about the Spheros connected with this, but of course Ramchal knew the reality. Of course, Ramchal says, of course, Chazal knew the reality. Okay. Now, he says, and the Maral says something similar, the Ramchal says, and the Maral says something similar, that from Chazal's perspective, Chazal talk about, you know, things like Har Moria, where the Beis Hamikdash is, being the highest point in the world. Okay. It's not even close to the highest point in the world. Right? However, if you view the world as a ball from an Eretz Yisrael-centric perspective, so Eretz Yisrael is on top, okay, then the highest point...
At the center.
What?
At the center. Sort
of the ball, right. You hold the globe in such a way that Eretz Yisrael is at the top. Okay? It's the North Pole, right. If Eretz Yisrael is the North Pole, and then the highest point in Eretz Yisrael, which Har Moria apparently was at one time, okay, is the highest point in the world. And when the sun disappears from Eretz Yisrael, the sun has gone away. Even though we know that it's, you know, from our perspective, it's traveling underneath the earth, okay, but the sun has gone away. It's gone somewhere. The rest of the world simply is not important. The rest of the world is
just to be consistent. We shouldn't be saying it goes behind the world or underneath the world. It's the other way around.
I said from our perspective. I said from our perspective, the sun has disappeared. You're standing the highest point in the world, which is the highest point in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, and then from that perspective, the sun comes out in the east. It goes away in the west, and it has disappeared. The fact that it's giving light, the fact that the sun is still giving light in some other part of the world, which is irrelevant to us, right? The fact is, halacha, we see that in many cases, right? Pesach is the Chag Ha'aviv, it's the holiday of spring, okay? Not in Australia, but halacha doesn't care about Australia. I mean, if you're in Australia, you have to observe halacha. But halacha was not given for Australia. It was given for Eretz Yisrael. So that is The Rav David Luria mentions as well a number of Rishonim, the Kuzari, for example, that write that this Medrash Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer has many chapters discussing these astronomical issues. Our Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer doesn't have any of this; it's lost. It has a little bit. There are three chapters here, but the implication from some of these Rishonim, like the Kuzari, is that there was once a lot more discussion of astronomy in this Medrash Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, and it's lost. So we don't know, other than the little snippets that are quoted in various Rishonim, we don't know what it said, but you know, Chazal had more to say about this, either in a literal sense or a figurative, Kabbalistic sense. So that is the Ramchal. What does it mean that the Shekhinah is in the West? After all, God is everywhere. So the Mor Nevuchim says in Chelek Gimel, rather, Perk Mem Hei. So Mor Nevuchim says that what it means that the Shekhinah is in the West is that if you are standing on Har Habayis, you know, we daven towards Yerushalayim. If you're in Yerushalayim, you daven towards Har Habayis. If you're on Har Habayis, you daven towards Kodesh HaKodashim. The Kodesh HaKodashim is on the western, near the western edge of the Har Habayis. So if you are standing in the on the Har Habayis, you will face west when you daven. So the Shekhinah is in the west. Why is that? Because in Avram Avinu's time, people worshipped the sun. So Avram Avinu established Shacharis. Shacharis is in the morning at the time of sunrise. If you were an idolater, then at the time of sunrise, you are facing the sun. You're facing east. So Avram Avinu, Dafka, turned his back on the sun and faced west when he davened. Okay? And that, says the Rambam, is what it means, the Shekhinah's in the west. It was simply a way to negate the view of the idolaters that the sun is God. Okay. The Rambam then goes on and says,
just face away from the sun. Not specifically face.
Right, well, he didn't have face in Egypt. But Avram established Shacharis, and when you daven Shacharis, if you're facing away from the sun, you're facing west. So Avram established that the Kodesh HaKodashim should be on the western side of the Har Habayis. According to the Rambam, Avram decided where the Beis HaMikdash would be, and Avram decided the layout of the Beis HaMikdash. And Avram said the Kodesh HaKodashim should be on the west, western side of the Beis HaMikdash, to symbolize or to show that we're turning our back on the east. That's the Rambam. The Rambam learns. And the Rambam says, tangentially for our purposes, it's not tangential for the Rambam's purposes, but tangentially for our purposes, that if Avram Avinu established where the Beis HaMikdash would be, and he brings a proof from Targum, which says, Upalach v'tzali Avram taman v'atra hahu, Avram prayed and served and prayed there in that place. V'amar kadam Hashem hachayon palchin daraya. And he said, before Hashem, in this place, the generations shall serve. So you see, in this place meaning the Har Habayis. You see that Avram established the Har Habayis as the place of service of Hashem. So the Rambam asks, why is it not mentioned in the Torah? Well, the Torah doesn't tell us. The Torah doesn't mention Yerushalayim. Okay? The Torah says, "B'makom Hashem char Hashem," in the place that Hashem will choose. So why is it not mentioned? So he gives three reasons. He says, if the Goyim knew that how holy that place was to us, they would fight to the death for it. Sounds very familiar. Second, he says, if the Goyim knew, they would destroy it, which also is happening today. The the Muslim authorities control Har Bayis. They're constantly they have archaeologists looking for Jewish evidence on Har Bayis so they can destroy it. And third, he says that if the tribes knew about it, they would fight over it. The Jews themselves would fight over it. Every tribe would want to have the holiest place. He says that's why the Beis Hamikdash could not be built until after there was a king, because the king would keep order, and the king would say, "I will decide." And so those are reasons the Rambam gives. That's just a tangent to our main point, as far as the Shekhinah is in the West. Maral, in his commentary on our Gemara, writes, okay, first he says, God is not physical. Okay, therefore, the Shekhinah can't be in the West, because only something physical can be in a place, and God is not physical. So we cannot literally say the Shekhinah is in the West. It means it is a place more appropriate to see the Shekhinah. Okay, we'll come back to that in a minute. He goes on and he says that although the heavenly bodies, from our perspective, are inanimate objects, what does it mean? The sun is bowing down to its creator. The sun is not a living thing. Okay. However, we speak, Chazal speak about the creations. For example, Gemara and Chulin, where Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair needed to cross the Jordan River, and he told the Jordan River to split. And the Jordan River says, look, you're serving God your way, I'm serving God my way. Okay. Whatever it means that he could talk to the river and the river could answer him, presumably it means a malach, the malach of the river. Okay. We speak of objects in nature serving Hashem, because if they're doing what Hashem created them to do, then they are serving Hashem. So it's a machlokas about the pasuk. In Tehillim, we say Shabbos morning, Hashemayim Safrim Kod Kel. The heavens relate the wonders of God. So some learn that it means that the angel of every heavenly body is saying praise to Hashem. Others mean it learns. Through nature, you see the wonders of God. So in that sense, the nature is, the heavenly bodies are telling the wonders of God, because you look at them and you see the wonders of God. So Maral says, since they are doing God's will, because God created them that way, it's as if they are serving God. So, okay. And then he says, as I mentioned, okay, of course the sun doesn't set. It's just appears to be, you know, have gone beneath the earth. Okay. However, okay, Chazal, as we said in our introduction to Ein Yaakov, Chazal are not interested in science. They're interested in what's going on behind the science. Okay. And what's going on behind the science is that the sun appears, from Eretz Yisrael's perspective, to have bowed down in the West, bowed down to Hashem, and that's what our Gemara is referring to. Okay, what does it mean to give shalom to its creator? So that's the way a student goes to the Rebbe and says, you know, says shalom aleichem. Okay. When you come back from a trip, okay, it's not the rabbi's job to come over to you, or you're going on a trip, you're leaving on a trip. You're supposed to go to the rabbi and or go to your Rebbe and you know, take leave. Okay. It's not his job to come to you, it's your job to go to him. So it's the same, similar idea. Okay. So as far as the Maral's comment that even though Hashem is not physical, but there is a place where it is appropriate, where you find Hashem, where you find the Shekhinah. So my Rebbe Rav Tzuriel explains in his Sefer Be'uri Agados, based on other Marals. Okay. He says that, first of all, what does Shekhinah mean? The word Shechina literally means the to be at rest. Shachanti v'tocham. Asul mikdash. Make me a mikdash. Shachanti v'tocham, and I will reside or I will rest among them. Okay. The Shechina is in essence God's revelation in to us. That it's our, to the extent God is residing among us, to the extent God is revealed to us, that's called the Shechina. So he says that we know there are different directions. Each direction represents something. South represents Chesed. As Pasuk says, Vaisa Avraham Haloch v'nasoh Negma. Avraham traveled to the south. Okay. South represents Chesed. Obviously, these are all Kabbalistic allusions as well, but we can mention them. North represents Midas Hadin, because the Navi says that judgment will come from the north. Okay. In the literal sense, what that means is that the armies that attacked Eretz Yisrael in time for the first base of Mikdash, it came from the north, because if you're traveling from Iraq, from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, you don't travel due west through the desert, you travel north along the Fertile Crescent. So the enemies came from the north, but symbolically it means Midas Adin comes from the north. Okay. East represents birth. There's a pasuk, Mimizrach Avizarecha, I'll bring your seed from the east. And west represents the gathering in of all forces and their and everything negating itself to Hashem. And that's the idea that so where Hashem is revealed to us and where we go to, and this is symbolized by the Kodesh Kodashim being in the western part of the Beis HaMikdash, where we go to say to Hashem, we see you. Everything we have is you. It comes from you, and really there is nothing but you. That is the West. So that's what it means. And that's symbolized by the fact that the day, so to speak, ends in the West. Everything in the end goes towards the West. It negates itself to Hashem. The sun bows down to Hashem. It's everything. It's just simply negating all of existence to Hashem. And saying there is nothing but Hashem. So that's what West means. Okay. He points out that in ancient maps, our maps have north at the top of the map, ancient maps had east at the top of the maps. So West was the bottom, it was the end of everything was at the bottom of the map.
Because of the perception of sunset?
Because of the so what he's suggesting is that it's the perception that the West is the sort of the end of everything. Okay. Sunset is a reflection of the fact that the West is everything. The sun, when it's ready to, so to speak, go in, it goes in from the West. That's based on several Maharals. Okay. Gemara in Baba Basra says, "Daf Chapei Amar Aleph." I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Let us give thanks to our ancestors, or be grateful to our ancestors. Shodi'u makom tefila. They told us where to daven. As it says, the heavenly bodies bow down to you. It's the same pasuk that our Gemara brings regarding the sun setting in the west. So Tosos comments on that. That we understand the sun is not really setting. We understand the sun is always somewhere. However, this goes back to the discussion we had last week about Ein la dayan ela ma sheinav ra'ot. A judge can only judge what he sees. And we applied that last week to the appearance of spontaneous generation of creatures coming out of nowhere, or coming out of sweat, or coming out of rotten fruit. Okay? We can only judge what we see. From our perspective, again, from the perspective of somebody standing at any point in the world, and particularly somebody standing in Eretz Yisrael, the sun appears to have disappeared. Okay? And that's what Chazal are talking about. They're talking about our perceptions. Then he says, why do we need this pasuk? To know where to face in davening. Why not just learn from the fact that the Kodesh Kodashim was in the west? Because that's where the Shekhinah was. So Tosa says that, well, really the Shekhinah is everywhere. But as Rebbe said, paraphrasing Rebbe said to Antoninus, if it was the other way around, you'd ask me why it was the other way around. We had to put the Aron somewhere. So Tosos, unlike the Rambam, who finds significance in the fact that the Aron was in the west, Tosos says, if we put it in the east, you'd ask me why it's in the east. And if we put it in the north, you'd ask me why it's in the north and the south. It has to be somewhere. It's a physical object. It's got to be somewhere. So it's in the west. So you can't prove anything from that. Okay. And then Tosos says that
doesn't make any sense. Yes, a spot had to be picked. That doesn't mean it's irrelevant. It's the opposite.
Right. Well, but you can't prove from the fact that it is placed there why it was placed there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean,
it's implied that it's significant because it was picked. Whether we can understand why.
Right. You can't prove what the significance is.
Right. We don't say that.
If I had put it somewhere else, you would ask the same question and you'd find some other significance.
Yeah, right. Because we're striving to know the truth about this location.
Right, but you'd have no way of knowing that your answer was correct.
Right. Yeah, that's a different question. We're always looking for that logic. We're trying to make sense of all this.
Well, Tosus agree with that? See, Rav Hirsch, volume 3, I think, or volume 4, now either volume 3 or volume 4 of the collected writings of Rav Hirsch, is a very large portion of it is about Jewish symbolism. And he talks about the symbolism of different mitzvos, and particularly about the construction of the Aron. And Rav Hirsch's position is, we can never ask the symbolism of the various implements of the Mishkan, I meant to say. Rav Hirsch's position is, we can never ask, why is it that way? We can only ask, what can we learn from it? Okay? Because we don't know why God said to do things the way he said. We don't know the reasons for the mitzvos. We can only ask, what can we learn from? And Rav Schwab, who was from the school of Rav Hirsch, comments that the word for reasons for the mitzvos is ta'amei ha-mitzvos, the taste of the mitzvos. Okay? When you taste something, you don't know the whole ingredient list. You don't know how it was made. You get a taste of it. Right? And all we can get from the mitzvos is a taste of the mitzvos. So it could be that Tosfos is saying that. Okay? Wherever we put the Aron, we had to put it somewhere. Yeah, we could ask, what can we get from it? But we can't ever know why it was there. Maybe that's what Tosfos is saying. I'm not sure. Okay? I hear your question. I'm not sure that I have a complete answer. Okay? And then the Tosfos brings the Ritzvah, one of the Bali Tosfos, or Yitzchak ben Avram, who says that in fact, It's true that the Kodesh HaKodashim was on the western side of the Beis HaMikdash, but the Aron was placed on the eastern side of the Kodesh HaKodashim. So now I don't know, is the significance the west or is the significance the east? Now, as Don would probably want to say, there's probably significance to both. Okay, that's true, but I don't know now. I don't know now. Is the Shekhinah in the west or is the Shekhinah in the east? If we assume that the Aron represents the Shekhinah, all of this has halachic implications.
We should talk to former astronauts who had the experience of sitting up there watching everything.
No,
move by rapidly.
No, we shouldn't, because as the Maharal said, right, Chazal aren't interested in the science of it. They're interested in what's behind the science, in the ideas, behind the science.
It's an insight, into what we're interested in, not to become an astronaut.
Becoming an astronaut might be really cool, but they have nothing to add to our discussion because we're not interested in the science. That's not our goal. As Maharal points out in his commentary here and in his introduction to Agadatas in general, Chazal are not scientists. They're not interested in science. They're not interested in how things happen. They're interested in why things happen. Why is science the way it is? So Chazal understood that the sun is going around the earth, or the earth is turning and looks like the sun is going around the earth. Chazal understood that. Why does Hashem make it that way? What can we take away from it? So, as cool as it might be to be an astronaut, I don't think they have anything to add to this discussion. The Mishnah Berurah brings a custom that when we say Boi Kala, Boi Kala at the end of Chadodi on Friday night, we turn around and we face, where do we face? Are we facing the west or are we facing the door, which in most shuls was in the west? Okay. So nowadays you see it both ways. I forgot to bring my Mishnah Berurah, but the Mishnah Berurah says you face the west, but the discussion in the other Achronim is that because the door was in the west and Shabbos is symbolically coming through the door, or is it because the sun is setting in the west? In which case, even if the door, like in our shul, the door is not in the west, it still faces the west. So the Kaf HaChaim, which is, Kaf HaChaim is early 1900s, Sephardi Posek, Rav Chaim Sofer. Okay, and it's sort of a Mishnah Berurah for Sephardim, not exactly, but he writes, quotes the Arizal, it's also much more Kabbalistic than our Mishnah Berurah. He writes, V'tachzor panecha k'neged ruach marav sh'shama chamash shokad. Should face the west because that's where the sun is setting. That's where Shabbos is starting, so to speak. It's in the west because that's where the sun is setting.
So if you already see east of Yerushalayim, facing west when you're davening, does that mean you would not turn around?
So it seems. Well, what about in our shul? What if the rabbi? All of our shuls, what do rabbis who are already facing west do? I never really paid attention. Okay. So you could ask the same question. You don't have to go to Baghdad.
I've davened in Kabbalah Shabbat and Sfat.
Right. Sfat is to the north of
where I'm saying, so
And what did you do? Well, Arizal lived in Sfat. The Arizal was not davening at the Arizal shul on Friday night. The Arizal went out to the field to daven, as he brings here. Right. So the Arizal lived in Sfat, which is north of Yerushalayim, and in Sfat you face south when you daven. The Arizal himself says, and he talks about going out in the field, but he says you face west towards the sunset. So the Arizal says. So that answers your question. According to Arizal, you face west, not, has nothing to do with where your Yerushalayim is, has nothing to do with where the door of the shul is, you face west.
What do we learn from that?
Well, that follows from our discussion. Perhaps, he hasn't mentioned the Shekhinah being in the west, Okay. However, Rav Moshe Feinstein connects the two. Okay. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked this question. Okay. Do you face the door or do you face... So there are poskim who hold you face the door. In the Dirshu Mishnah Brura, in the footnotes, they bring Rav Nissim Karelitz, a contemporary posek in Bnei Brak. He holds you face the door, not the west, okay, if the door is not in the west. Rav Moshe Feinstein in Igros Moshe, Or Chaim, Chelek Gimel, Simen Mem Hey. He says, regarding which direction you face in when you say Bo'i V'Shalom, in the vast majority of shuls in our country, the door is in the west. And so there's no question. You just turn around and face the door, which is in the west. Problem solved. So therefore, even though you think you should be facing the door, because that's where Shabbos is coming in, it could be the intention was always to face the west because the Shekhinah is in the west. And the and then should we say
that's a different reason than Shabbos could be in the west with the sun setting?
No, because our Gemara connected. Well, Rashi, our Gemara doesn't say Shekhinah is in the west. Rashi on our Gemara said the sun sets in the west because the Shekhinah is in the west. So the way Rashi learns, it's exactly the same thing. The sunset is the sun bowing down to the Shekhinah, which is in the west. So it's exactly the same thing. And he says, Rav Moshe quotes the Pasuk, not the Pasuk, it's a line in Davening, in Shabbos morning Davening, in the Bracha of Yotzer Ma'oros, Ve'yom HaShvit, Alav Yashav Kisei Kvodo, on the seventh day, Hashem goes up and sits on his throne, which is a reference to the Shekhinah being in the west, he says. Okay. And other than that, there's no apparent connection between Shabbos and the west. But it would seem that those are references to why you would dafka face the west when you greet Shabbos. And it's not because right after Bo'i V'Shalom, we're going to greet any Avelim, any mourners who are coming in, and therefore we should face the door to be ready to greet them. He says, definitely not because of that. Apparently, the person who asked the question suggested that that was the reason. Okay. And then he says, bottom line is, whatever you do is okay, because you're doing it to honor Shabbos. You're getting up from your seat, you're turning around in some direction to honor Shabbos. You've honored Shabbos. You've done good. And that's good enough. But it says that it seems that the original idea was to face the west because that's where the sun is setting. It's bowing down to the Shekhinah, which is in the west, as we explained.
You know, wherever you are in the world, you would want to face east normally. But there's some
wherever you are in the world, you face east. No. We face east because Yerushalayim's to the east. We face Yerushalayim.
Right, if you want to face towards Yerushalayim, but it's like a strong magnetic pull, and there's a certain point you get to where instead of turning around like we're sort of used to doing, you don't turn around anymore because the Har Bayis is like right next to you. The Kadosh is to your left. And when you get really, really close, sort of like the rules are off.
No. Mishnah says, if you're in anywhere in the world, you face Yerushalayim. If you're in Yerushalayim, you face the Har Habayis. If you're on the Har Habayis, you face the Kodesh HaKadosh. Mishnah gives very specific rules. And in fact, if you go to the Kotel, you will see many people who are facing at an angle. Because if you face the Kotel, you're missing the Har Habayis. You're missing the Kodesh HaKadosh. Kodesh HaKadosh is off to your left. There are many people who do turn at an angle towards where roughly the Kodesh HaKadosh is. I don't know if they precisely measured it, but they are generally facing towards Kodesh HaKadosh. So the Mishnah is very specific about that.
I didn't say it right. That's what I meant. As you get closer, you would be tuning yourself up to be facing.
Correct.
Even if it looks like an odd angle.
Right, correct. That's correct. Okay, I think we'll stop there.